comments on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, the fellowship of the human and divine. Our sanctification is the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is the fulfillment of the covenant God has made with those who bind themselves up with Him to stand with Him, His Son, and His Spirit in holy fellowship. Have you been born again? Have you become a new being in Christ Jesus? Then cooperate with the three great powers of heaven who are working in your behalf. Manuscript 11, 1901. Evidences of sanctification. True sanctification will be evidenced by a conscientious regard for all the commandments of God, by a careful improvement of every talent, by a circumspect conversation, by revealing in every act the meekness of Christ. Review and Herald, October 5, 1886. The true sign of sanctification. Those who dishonor God by transgressing His law may talk sanctification, but it is of that value and just as acceptable as was the offering of Cain. Obedience to all the commandments of God is the only true sign of sanctification. Disobedience is the sign of disloyalty and apostasy. Holiness within the reach of all. God has chosen men from eternity to be holy. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. God's law tolerates no sin, but demands perfect obedience. The echo of God's voice comes to us ever saying, holier, holier still. And ever our answer is to be, yes, Lord, holier still. Holiness is within the reach of all who reach for it by faith, not because of their good works, but because of Christ's merits. Divine power is provided for every soul struggling for the victory over sin and Satan. Justification means the saving of a soul from perdition, that he may obtain sanctification, and through sanctification the life of heaven. Justification means the conscience, purged from dead works, is placed where it can receive the blessing of sanctification. Sanctification and communion. Sanctification means habitual communion with God. Review and Herald, March 15, 1906. Verses 13 and 14, errors regarding Christ's coming. There was still another reason for Paul's communication to these brethren. Some who were newly brought into the faith had fallen into errors in regard to those who had died since their conversion. They had hoped that all would witness the second coming of Christ, but they were in great sorrow as one after another of the believers fell under the power of death, making it impossible for them to behold that desirable event, the coming of Christ in the clouds of heaven. Some who had fallen into the error that Christ was to come in their day imbibed the fanatical idea that it was praiseworthy to show their faith by giving up all business and resigning themselves to idle waiting for the great event which they thought was near. Verse 16, the last trump. When Christ comes to gather to Himself those who have been faithful, the last trump will sound, and the whole earth, from the summits of the loftiest mountains to the lowest recesses of the deepest mines, will hear. The righteous dead will hear the sound of the last trump and will come forth from their graves to be clothed with immortality and to meet their Lord. Special Testimonies, Series B, Number 2, page 24. Chapter 5, verse 23. The whole man to be sanctified. The truth must sanctify the whole man, his mind, his thought, his heart, his strength. His vital powers will not be consumed upon his own lustful practices. These must be overcome, or they will overcome him. Letter 108, 1898. Clearing away the miasma of sin. Sanctification. How many understand its full meaning? The mind is befogged by sensual malaria. The thoughts need purifying. What might not men and women have been had they realized that the treatment of the body has everything to do with the vigor and purity of mind and heart? The true Christian obtains an experience which brings holiness. He is without a spot of guilt upon the conscience or a taint of corruption upon the soul. The spirituality of the law and its limiting principles is brought into his life. The light of truth irradiates his understanding. A glow of perfect love for the Redeemer clears away the miasma which has interposed between his soul and God. The will of God has become his will, pure, elevated, refined, and sanctified. His countenance reveals the light of heaven. His body is a fit temple for the Holy Spirit. Holiness adorns his character. God can commune with him, for soul and body are in harmony with God. Letter 139, 1898. His by creation and redemption. God would have us realize that he has a right to mind, soul, body, and spirit, to all that we possess. We are his by creation and by redemption. As our Creator, he claims our entire service. As our Redeemer, he has a claim of love as well as of right, of love without a parallel. This claim we should realize every moment of our existence. Before believers and unbelievers, we must constantly recognize our dependence upon God. Our bodies, our souls, our lives are his, not only because they are his free gift, but because he constantly supplies us with his benefits and gives us strength to use our faculties. By returning to him his own, by willingly laboring for him, we show that we recognize our dependence upon him. Review and Herald, November 24, 1896. Jesus asks us to consecrate ourselves to him. He has placed signal honor upon the human race, for he says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Shall we not then give to Christ that which he has died to redeem? If you will do this, he will quicken your conscience, renew your heart, sanctify your affections, purify your thoughts, and set all your powers at work for him. Every motive and every thought will be brought into captivity to Jesus Christ. Those who are sons of God will represent Christ in character. Their works will be perfumed by the infinite tenderness, compassion, love, and purity of the Son of God. And the more completely mind and body are yielded to the Holy Spirit, the greater will be the fragrance of our offering to him." Review and Herald, November 24, 1896.